I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is March 21st, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an article by David Jackson entitled, Obama, No Religion Responsible for Terrorism. He begins, President Obama said that he doesn't use terms like Islamic extremism because doing so would promote the false idea of a Western war with Islam, which would help extremists recruit more terrorists. Obama said, no religion is responsible for terrorism. People are responsible for violence and terrorism. Barack, your argument employed the red herring logical fallacy. You distracted the audience by making a true statement that people are responsible for violence and terrorism. That was the red herring. Once you had their agreement, your argument then ignored the motivation behind that violence and terrorism. Islamic extremists are motivated by Islam. That is why they are called Islamic extremists. Obama also said military force alone will not defeat terrorism. Barack, everyone already has figured out that military force alone will not defeat terrorism. But military force is necessary to save thousands of victims from Islamic military forces. The fact that the solution requires more than one strategy does not eliminate the need for a military response. Barack added, and the nation must work with local communities to reduce the influence of those who advocate violent extremism. They are not religious leaders, they are terrorists. Barack, you are denying reality. It is a fact that many of the terrorists are religious leaders. You are trying too hard to pander to religious people, and in so doing, you are sacrificing honesty. Obama also said, we are not at war with Islam. We are at war with people who have perverted Islam. Barack, Islamic terrorists, just like their Christian fundamentalist counterparts, are the ones who are trying to follow the teachings in their holy books. The people who have perverted Islam are the peaceful Muslims, who ignore large parts of the Quran. The same is true for Christians, who must read the Bible with their eyes closed half the time to avoid all the nasty, violent, bloody parts. Barack, that's the price of being a politician. You must sacrifice integrity in order to pander and placate. I understand why you must do this. It is just sad that you have to. Jackson's article continues. The summit, in which officials from cities in the United States and across the globe discuss their attempts to dissuade young people from embracing hateful ideologies. David, those hateful ideologies are based on literal interpretations of violent ancient scriptures. Followers believe that those scriptures came from God and that they tell them to kill. And they are half right in that both the Bible and the Quran do tell them whom they should kill and when. His article continues, the summit takes place as conservatives criticize Obama for avoiding the term Islamic extremism. David, as much as I hate to side with conservatives, they got this one right. That makes one. Obama said that there is a fair amount of debate in the press and among pundits about the words that should be used to describe and frame this challenge of violent extremism. Groups like the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda try to portray themselves as religious leaders, holy warriors in defense of Islam, but we must never accept the premise that they put forward, because it is a lie. Actually, Barack, the lie is coming from you, not them. Many of them are religious leaders. Many of them have proven themselves holy warriors in defense of Islam by sacrificing their lives in pursuit of their cause. In numerous marches, they have carried signs making clear their intent to dominate the world. Religion has always proven itself to be one of the most successful motivators available to inspire people to kill and die. Obama also said Muslim communities have responsibilities to confront the abuse of religion. Barack, as pointed out previously, it is moderate Muslims who are misinterpreting their religion. They are the ones who are ignoring large parts of their scriptures. However, if Christians and Muslims can do the mental gymnastics necessary to maintain their faith while simultaneously ignoring the horrors in their scriptures and follow only those parts which are actually good moral teachings, then I'm willing to compromise and tolerate their superstition. By tolerate, I mean live in peace. It doesn't mean that I am willing to sacrifice my right to criticize their beliefs any more than I would try to deny their right to criticize mine. Obama said, "Of course, the terrorists do not speak for a billion Muslims who reject their ideology." Barack, there are about 1.5 billion Muslims, meaning that there are hundreds of millions who don't reject many of the horrors in their violent ideology, as polls have verified. Obama said, "They no more represent Islam than any madman who kills innocents in the name of God represents Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism." Barack, Buddhism doesn't have gods. Historically, violence in Hinduism has been significantly less than in the Abrahamic religions. Judaism is too busy running from the rest of the world and just trying to survive to be much of a threat to anyone. The main problems come from Christianity and Islam. Those madmen you refer to do represent Christianity and Islam because they kill based on inspiration they receive from those religions. Barack, your tired red herring argument that murderous religious extremists don't represent all Christians and Muslims does not let religion off the hook for motivating these individuals. But what other defense do you have? As a politician, you do not have the same freedom to be honest that an individual citizen has. You must appease as many people as possible and offend as few as possible. I understand why you are saying what you are saying, but that still doesn't make it right. The article continues. In fighting extremism, Obama said the United States and allies must also address the economic and political grievances that often fuel violent ideology. Governments must work to help provide economic opportunity, education, democracy, and the rule of law to their citizens. Barack, now you are trying to defend barbaric religion-driven savagery by conflating it with other factors. But it didn't work. Those other factors are separate from the religious motivation. Barack, here are three definitions of the word conflate from Wikipedia. See if you can pick out the one that describes what you just did. 1. To bring things together and fuse them into a single entity. 2. To mix together different elements. 3. To fail to properly distinguish or keep separate things. To treat them as equivalent. Here's a hint, Barack. Third time's a charm. Obama said the best partners for these efforts are local communities, family members, schools, churches, and mosques, and law enforcement officials can help dissuade young people from falling for the false promises of extremism. Obama warned that engagement with communities can't be a cover for surveillance. Barack, it is amazing you can say that with a straight face after the U.S. was caught spying on its own allies. But the fact that you can explains why you are a successful politician. He continued, and governments should deal with vulnerable people through the prism of law enforcement. The nation must stay true to its heritage of tolerance and diversity and not target specific religious groups. Barack, you have reality backwards again. Religious groups aren't being targeted. Americans are being targeted by individuals who are motivated by various religious groups, such as Islam and Christianity. Islam has been targeting random citizens, such as the victims at Fort Hood. Fundamentalist Christians choose their targets more specifically, such as abortion doctors and their healthcare staff. But both Christians and Muslims draw inspiration for their crimes from their holy scriptures. How do I know this? Because they usually quote the verses to us. Obama concluded by stating, "It will take time. This is a generational challenge." By the way, Barack, now that you are done with it, Ben Affleck would like to have his speech back. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story. Scientists find the ouch zone in the brain. Activity in a brain area known as the dorsal posterior insula is directly related to the intensity of pain. Researchers used a new brain imaging technique to look at people experiencing pain over many hours. Activity in only one brain area, the dorsal posterior insula, reflected the participants' ratings of how much the pain hurt. These results could help detect pain in people with limited communication abilities, such as those in a coma, small children, and dementia patients. Pain is a complex, multidimensional experience which causes activity in many brain areas involved with things like attention, feeling emotions such as fear, locating where the pain is, and so on. But the dorsal posterior insula seems to be specific to the actual hurt level of pain itself. Researchers were able to find this area by developing a new method of tracking brain activity based on a technique called arterial spin labeling. This allowed them to look at more complex brain states that stretch over much longer periods. By tracking pain felt over many hours, they were able to filter out more momentary experiences, such as variations in attention or fear. The research team tracked brain activity in 17 healthy volunteers who had a cream containing capsaicin, the active ingredient in chilies, applied onto their right leg, causing a burning sensation. The volunteers indicated how much this burning sensation hurt. Once the pain sensation began to fade, the researchers rekindled the sensation by putting a hot water bottle where the cream was applied. A few minutes later, they provided pain relief by switching to a cooling water bottle. The volunteers' ratings of how much the pain hurt accordingly went up and then down. Activity changes in the dorsal posterior insula track these changes in the volunteers' ratings of pain. Researchers plan to verify these results by attempting to switch off this brain region in relevant patients suffering from intractable pain. They hope that changing activity in the dorsal posterior insula will help to treat pain where other methods have failed. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Terry Pratchett, born 1948, died 2015 at the age of 66. Pratchett was an English author of fantasy novels, especially comical works. He is best known for his Discworld series of about 40 volumes. He wrote 2 books a year on average. He has sold more than 85 million books worldwide in 37 languages and was the UK's best-selling author in the 1990s. In December 2007, Pratchett announced that he was suffering from early-onset Alzheimer's disease, which killed him 8 years later. Here is the quote from Terry Pratchett. "The presence of those seeking the truth is infinitely to be preferred to the presence of those who think they have found it."
Are you ready, Greece? Start walking!